Happy Thanksgiving. When you give a shiur on Thanksgiving morning, so usually the topic is something related to Thanksgiving. It's, you know, are you allowed to have turkey? Is turkey kosher? Is a Jew allowed to participate in Thanksgiving holiday? But I figured you probably heard that shiur any number of times, and we should do something different. And the parsha affords us an opportunity to look at a very interesting angle on a story that we learn in grade school. But there are a lot of different aspects to this story. We're going to be tackling one of them. And we're learning this morning, Le'ilui Nishmas, Marvin Hachbam, Zichrono Livracha, Menachem Mendel, Ben Eliezer. So his neshama should have an aliyah. We know the story of Rachel, Leah, and Yaakov. We know that Yaakov, for whatever reason, falls for Rachel. He wants to marry Rachel. He is told that he needs to work for 7 years, and he's very, very clear about what he wants. He says he wants to marry Rachel Bitcha Katana, right? That becomes shorthand for spelling everything out in an agreement. He says, Rachel, your daughter Rachel, the younger one, and yet Lavan gives him Leah instead, and the justification of it is, Lo ye'asechein bimkomenu laseis hatzi'ira lefnei abechira, because that's not the way we do things here. I don't know what you guys are doing back in Canaan. However, here in Aram, we're civilized, and we don't marry off the younger one before the older one. And generally speaking, if you ask me who in the Torah we would be most likely to hold as a posek, it wouldn't be Lavan, right? You don't look at Lavan and think to yourself, now that's a guy who we should be following. That's number one. Number two, the person he's cheating is Yaakov. Yaakov is the person who represents Torah. He is Bechir Ha'avos. So I would assume that if you're not supposed to marry off the younger one before the older one, Yaakov would know that. And the fact that Yaakov wants to marry Rachel, and Leah is not yet married, would seem to indicate that it's okay to marry the younger before the older. That would have been my assumption. And yet, when you get to the Rishonim, you find that some actually say, no, we follow Lavan. We paskin like Lavan, and in fact, Lavan was correct. You're not supposed to marry off the older before the younger. Yeah. The younger before the older.
Why didn't he say something right away?
Sorry?
Why didn't
Lavan say something right away? Right, it's not like we're going to interpret this story to say Lavan is a good guy. We're not redeeming Lavan in this story. If Lavan is really correct, and this is what's supposed to be done, then someone should have said something to Yaakov 7 years earlier in a chanami. That maybe he thought 7 years' time Leah is going to get married. He thought that was going to happen, and lo and behold, it didn't. But take a look at this this Gemara in Bava Basra. First, I brought you two psukim in sources 1 and 2 on the sheet. I only brought you the English to avoid Shemos problems. But the daughters of Tzlafchad. Tzlafchad has 5 daughters. We know the story. They want to get a portion in Eretz Yisrael. They want to get their father's portion in Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara at the end of Bava Basra shows they get more than just one portion. They get a whole bunch of portions in Israel. But they're listed multiple times in Sefer Bamidbar. The first time they're listed is when they come to Moshe in the first place to say they want a portion. And if you look at the order in source number 1, we're told their orders, the names are Machla, Noah, Chagla, Milcah, and Tirza. Machla, Noah, Chagla, Milcah, Tirza. That's the order the first time round. However, they also show up at the end of Sefer Bamidbar, because after it's determined that they're going to get a portion in Eretz Yisrael, they then have a problem. The problem is that in the event that they get married, then their husbands are going to end up inheriting from them the land, and their husbands, if they're from another Shevet, if they're from another tribe, are going to end up getting portions from their Shevet. And you're going to, over time, circumstances like this in which women inherit land, you're going to end up making Swiss cheese out of the nachlos, out of the portions. And that's the complaint that their Shevet brings. And in that story, we again get the list of the daughters of Tzlafchad, but the order changes. Machla, Tirza, Chagla, Milcah, Noah is in source number 2. So Machla is still first, but after that, all of the other ones are out of order. Why do I have different orders? So the Gemara Bava Basra explains why. If you take a look at source number 3, Lahalan minan akasav derech gedulasan v'kan derech chokhmasan. The later appearance in source number 2, the one that we saw there, that's age order. The first appearance, when they come to Moshe with their complaint, is actually the order of Chachma. The wisest of them is listed first and then on its way down. I hope they didn't know that. right? Like that they were being listed in that way. They finally settled the disputes among them about which one was the smarter one. I'm not sure that they were happy about that being printed in the Torah. Nonetheless, Messiah Leila Rabbi Ami, this supports Rabbi Ami's lesson. Da'amar Rabbi Ami, because Rabbi Ami said, B'yeshiva halach achar chochma. When it comes to yeshiva, sitting and learning, we follow the order of wisdom. B'mesiba, but when you're at a feast, halach achar zikna. You follow age order. And then Rav Ashi concludes, v'hude maflik b'chachma, v'hude maflik b'zikna. We only really care about putting them in the right order if there's a serious age difference or a serious difference in wisdom. If they're basically around the same, it doesn't matter so much. But if there's a real difference in between, then we are going to follow age order when they are at a feast, when they're at a seuda. Now right now, if I just leave it there, does this sound like it has anything to do with Lavan's story or anything to do with who marries off first? No, right? It doesn't sound like it at all. It just sounds like, okay, if you're at a wedding and you have to decide where to seat people, so put the older one towards the head and put the younger ones further away from the head. That's the way I would have read that Gemara. But I'm not the Rashbam. The Rashbam, Rashi's grandson, one of the Balei HaTosfos, says that's not the way to read it. In source number 4, he says, Kishenisu Benos Tzlafchad Minan Akasav Derech Gedulasan. When Benos Tzlafchad got married, they were listed in the Torah in the order of their age. Umistaber Dekach Noldu. And then he says, logically, that's the order in which they were born. Kedichsiv, like it says, Lo Yeyasechin Bimekomenu Laseis Hatziira Lefnei Bechira. Like Lavan says, we don't do it here, marrying off the younger before the elder. So in other words, he says, it doesn't mean we seat them at a wedding in age order. It means we marry them off in age order. That's the way Rashbam reads the Gemara. We marry off siblings in age order. It's a remarkable statement. He doesn't explain why. He just takes it as a given. That's what we do. In fact, there's a Tosfos that brings a ruling on a separate marriage case, which raises this as well. In the Gemara, if you learn Maseches Kiddushin, Daf Yomi finished Maseches Kiddushin a few weeks ago, you find that marriage in the old days was a bit of a wild west compared to the way that we do it now. People think of marriage as something that, you know, was arranged and very formal, and the parents of this one met with the parents of that one, but not when you get to the Gemara. The Gemara has all these bizarre cases, including the case in which a man walks up to somebody who has multiple daughters, and he gives him money, and he says, gives him a ring, whatever it is, and he says, this is for a kiddushin of your daughter. And the father accepts it. And then afterwards they realize, wait, he didn't say which daughter. Like, no one apparently was arranging this one in advance. And now the question is, so who has the kiddushin? Leave aside the problem that kiddushin requires her agreement. Let's say both women said, oh, he's a great guy, we say yes. So now what do you do? Which one actually had kiddushin? So if you look in source number 5, we find out this was not a hypothetical. And this was not only in the times of the Gemara. This happened in the times of Rabbeinu Tam. End of the 11th century, beginning of the 12th century. Maisa ba lifnei Rabbeinu Tam. It happened in the times of Rabbeinu Tam. The case came before him. Bibno shel harav Rabbeinu Oshaya Halevi. The son of Rabbi Oshaya Halevi. Apparently somebody who was big. I don't know anything about Rabbi Oshaya Halevi beyond this story. Shekidesh bas Ashir Echad. His son went and did kiddushin for the daughter of a certain wealthy man. Va'amar bitcha mikudeshes li stama. V'lo piresh plonis bitcha. He went up to him and he said, I am Mekadesh, your daughter, without specifying which one. Va'amar Rabbeinu Tam de mikudeshes. And Rabbeinu Tam says, well, the kiddushin is valid. That's what we say. Afilo pirish nami afilu bepe b'shas shiduch. Even if he never specified which one he is doing kiddushin with, yesh lanu lomar de kiddush hagedola. Presumably, the kiddushin was with the older one. Why? Mishum lo yaseh kein bimekomeinu laseis hatzirah lefnei bechirah. Because we don't marry off the younger one before the older one. So clearly, he must have meant the older one. That's Rabbeinu Tam's position. And then he quotes from Menachem Meyuni, another of the author of the Tosos, who disagreed and says that's not necessarily so. And Rabbeinu Tam ends up backing down. Rabbeinu Tam says, yeah, maybe I shouldn't really act on it. Maybe we shouldn't make the assumption that way. What are you going to do in the event that you can't do that? Then probably require that he give a get. for both of them and start from scratch. And this time, you know, figure out what you're doing before you do it.
Is this working on the assumption that we can't ask him who he attended and if he did stay?
Correct. Correct. We cannot just ask him which one did you intend, because we don't know that we're getting the right answer. Maybe he has some special reason why he changes his mind. Yeah, it isn't simply that he's not accessible anymore or something like that. So what we see here in the in this Tosfos, like the position of the Rashbam, is that somebody thinks that we're following Lavan. We're paskening like Lavan. Why would I follow Lavan over Yaakov is one good question to ask. The other good question to ask is, this is before Matan Torah, right? This is before the Torah is given. Why are we paskening like anything from before the Torah was given? Since when does that work as a source of psak? So that's our question. Clear? Everyone follow? Ooh, that's a really good point. I hadn't even thought about that one. The fact that Lavan says, we don't do it that way here. Okay, so if you're in Aram, if you want to get married in Iraq, right? You know, Iran, Iraq, where exactly in Aram you are is a good question. So then there's a rule. But who says that that should apply in New York? You know, maybe in parts of New York where there's a stronger Iraqi community. But why should this become minhag everywhere, that the Rashbam and Rabbeinu Tam in Western Europe are going to be paskening like Lavan? This is also an interesting point. Nonetheless, you get to the tour, and the tour is read as supporting this view as well. The tour, we're now moving forward in Jewish history. We're now in the 14th century, whereas before we were in the 11th and 12th century. Take a look at source number 6, Rabbi Yaakov ben Asher. And not only that, if you're going to talk about it being geographic, now we've moved out of that area altogether, right? The tour is in Spain. The tour is the son of the Rush. So he grew up in Germany and then moved to Spain. So he says, B'yeshiva shel din, o shel Torah. This is recorded in the halachos of Talmidei Chachamim. That's where this is found, in Yerodeah. He says, in yeshiva shel din, where we're gathering for litigation. So, o shel Torah, or learning Torah. So you put the wisest one at the head, even if the wisest one is younger, that one sits at the head. And in a feast, such as one for marriage, so we go with age, and you put the older one first. Now, once again, just like what we saw in the Gemara in source number 3, that doesn't say that it's about marrying somebody off, right? It says at a wedding, at a party. However, Rabbi Yoel Sirkis, also known as the Bach, in source number 7, we're now moving forward to 17th century Poland, interpreted exactly that way. If you look at what I bolded in source number 7, im achim o achayos yasu lahem nisuin, if brothers or sisters are getting married, afa gav she'echad godol mechavero bechochma, even if one of them is wiser than the other, lo yakdimu lasas nisuin lakaten b'shanim, you will not make the older one's wedding, the younger one's wedding first. You do the older one's wedding first. That's the Bach's understanding of what it's saying in the Torah. And in fact, that's also what the Shach says on that in Shulchan Aruch. So we're now all the way up to the 17th century, and we're still insisting that we paskin like Lavan. Why in the world would that work? Can anyone think about why we would adopt Lavan's position? Yeah, not like there's some disqualification of the marriage if they did it the other way. No one, I think, goes that route. But what's the why in the world would you follow that? Sorry?
And not harama.
And not harama. You're not supposed to trick people into doing this. No.
Are they really adapting Lavan's way and adapting something else?
Good. What do you mean?
What
do you mean?
Is Lavan adapting something else that he learned
before
that?
Right. Good. Yeah. Right. Good. So I'm going to take that answer in a moment, but first I want to show you a different answer, because the other answer is cooler. That answer is logical. It makes a lot of sense to say Lavan is just tapping into something that is what human beings would do. But before you get to that, the Maharsham has this wild answer in the Tchelas Mordechai, he says, you got to hear this answer. He says, Yaakov got the bracha from his father, right? The bracha really was supposed to go to the older one, to Esav. What's Yaakov's justification for getting the bracha of, instead of Esav? So he says, Yaakov, you have to read Rashi. Rashi on the Parsha tells us, from this Medrash, Yaakov and Esav are twins. We have this idea, and don't talk to me about human biology, but we have this idea that when twins emerge, the one who was conceived first is the one who's going to emerge last, right? Therefore, he is actually the older of the two, right? You remember this. You learned this. Again, don't ask a doctor about this. But that's the idea. Well, there's a Medrash in Seder Olam, which I brought you in source number 9. Rachel v'Leia nisu benos chav beis shahayu ta'omos. The Medrash in Seder Olam says Rachel and Leah were twins as well. And therefore, who's really the older? Rachel is really the older one, not Leah. So Rav Asher Weiss, in source number 8, in a tshuva on this issue of birth order, quotes you this Maharsham. He doesn't bring you the Seder Olam. He brings it to you from the Chida, who's quoting Rabbeinu Ephraim, that they were twins. He actually has them being 21, not 22. Because Yaakov says, Ve'avoa Eleha, and the gematria of Ve'avoa is 21. Okay. So but either way, what he's saying is, they were twins. Therefore, Rachel is really the older one. And that's what he's doing. Yeah.
She was conceived first.
She was conceived first.
It does say.
Well, the Medrash only says they're twins, but the argument is that whenever there are twins, the older one was conceived. The one who emerged first was actually conceived second. Yeah, that's the idea. First in, last out is the idea.
So Lavan didn't hold by that.
Or Lavan was not aware of the biology. Either way, now this also doesn't fit Rav Ashi. Because Rav Ashi said it's only if they're clearly greater, clearly older. They're twins. They're seconds apart. So this doesn't fit Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi will not be able to work with this answer. But that's the Maharsham's explanation for why the halacha would follow why we would follow Lavan on this, even though Yaakov disagreed. The answer is Yaakov didn't disagree. Yaakov agreed with Lavan. It's just that Rachel was actually older. That's the idea. It's a remarkable idea. Yeah.
But it doesn't work for Yerusha.
It does not work for Yerusha. It doesn't work for anything. I mean, this is pilpul with midrashim is what this is. The real answer, presumably, is the answer that that Mary said, that Rav Peretz said, that this idea is bigger than Lavan. It's not about Lavan said this, and therefore we're going to paskin this way. It's simply making a statement of, ethically, morally, it's nice to marry off the older one rather than marry off the younger one first. It's a good thing to do. So where does that leave us? Where does that leave us in practice? Right? My older brother, who many of you know, got engaged when was it? I think it was the winter of 1997, and I got engaged shortly thereafter. And then the question is, so who's going to get married first? So who should, by Lavan rules, the answer is, we were not twins, but by Lavan rules, the answer is the older one should get married before the younger one. Is that in fact what we say? So Rav Asher Weiss in Minchas Asher says, you're not supposed to wait. He says you're not supposed to wait unless they're both ready to get married. In other words, if it's a question of starting to date, pursuing opportunities, then you don't wait. However, if both of them are actually ready to get married, then you put the older one first. And he bases it on the language of the Bach as well as the Shach. If you take a look in source number 10, that's where I brought you the piece from the Menchas Asher on this. He says, I didn't end up translating it. I figured that I wanted both sides of one page and not going further. So, I'm going to read it aloud and translate it. He says, it appears in my humble opinion. He says, the only time when we say this is when we're talking about two brothers or two sisters who are ready to get married. And the only question is, who's going to go first, who's going to go second? And he says, you see it from the language of the Bach and the Shach, where they said, and if you are making weddings for brothers or sisters, so you do the wedding first for the one who is older in years. So we're talking about where both of them are actually getting married. And the question is, which one are you going to go to do first? As I bolded there, mizumanim lefanav levarech aleihem. You have both of them available. He says we compare it to the order where you have two different mitzvos to perform or two different foods that you're going to eat. You're going to make a bracha. So they're both in front of you. That's where you make this kind of assessment. But otherwise, he says, we're not going to do it, because he says, otherwise, logically, are you going to tell me that the younger one has to wait forever? Right? The older one is, you know, for whatever reason, not finding the one, and the younger one should sit around? That's really what you're going to do? Not to mention, you're talking about sisters in the case, you know, of Leah and Yaakov, of Leah and Rachel, right? So if the younger one has a guy who's interested in marrying her, you're not just making the younger one wait to honor her older sister, you're also making this guy wait. And he has a mitzvah of Pru Revu, right? Even if you'll tell me Pru Revu is only a mitzvah on the man, there's a man involved here, and he is sitting and waiting because her older sister has not yet found the right guy. So he says, that can't be that you're going to wait that long. It has to be that it's only in the event that they're actually both up for marriage. That's the idea. Which tells us that we're not really paskening like Lavan. Because in Lavan's case, they weren't both up for marriage, right? Leah did not have prospects as far as we know. So so Lavan is saying, even where the older one does not have a prospect, we're still gonna put the older one first. That's not how we pasken. We pasken that it's only where they both are up for marriage, and that's what my brother and I did. My brother got married before the 3 weeks, and I got married after the 3 weeks. And Baruch Hashem, my parents were able to manage both. Yeah?
There was a prospect from Leah. They lay a rock
on her. Yeah.
She was crying because she was supposed to marry Esav.
Right. I was thinking about Esav as the prospect.
Right.
She didn't consider Esav a prospect.
If you were to look back now.
Yeah. Yeah.
So why was it still a mida to say, well, let the older son get married first? I'm missing.
No, we did. That's what we did.
You did. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's what we did. He got married before the 3 weeks, and I got married after the 3 weeks. Yeah. No. That's.
What if you had gotten engaged before him?
What if I had gotten engaged before him?
Same thing.
Yeah. No, we'd still say the same thing. Which we are both engaged by the time the weddings roll around. Yeah. Oh, well, no, I think as long as we're both up for marriage at the same time, that would be the rule. Now, there's more to say on this, but we only have 5 minutes. I'm going to say the rest of it briefly. Not going to hold people long, but there's more to this whole story. First of all, and this is Rav Asher Weiss brings it further along in the Tshuva, the Chasam Sofer had this happen. The Chasam Sofer had a daughter. And he had a son, and then he had a daughter. They're 2 years apart. The daughter had a guy who she was interested in marrying. A guy was interested in her, and he tried to delay his daughter's wedding after the shidduch was set because he had an older son who was not yet married. So he wanted to wait. So does that show that in fact one should wait even when the older one is not ready to marry? But the answer is not necessarily. First of all, in the Chasam Sofer's case, there's less fear of losing the shidduch. Right? You're not really concerned that someone is going to walk away from becoming the son-in-law of the Chasam Sofer. That's number one. But number two, it's still strange. Because, still, are you really going to tell me that the guy who she's engaged to should lose his mitzvah, right? So he says, well, maybe the guy was learning. He's learning somewhere in Pressburg. And therefore, there's no isser for him to wait. But the fact that the Chasam Sofer is actually talking about this practically, end of the 18th century, beginning of the 19th century, is very interesting. Another point, which I believe, where did I put it? No, another point which the Menchas Asher says is in the event that she wants to wait out of sensitivity, it's a zechus for her. It's a good thing for her to do. Unless she's harming herself by waiting, she should, it is meritorious. Rav Moshe Feinstein discusses this in a Tshuva in Igros Moshe. And he discusses the question of whether there is an issue of waiting in order to avoid embarrassing the older sibling. Like, is there value to doing it? And he says, well, it may be a nice thing to do. It's certainly not halachic. He says, after all, V'gam mistaber shlo shayach leser la'adam milasos asaka v'chol tzorche gufo b'tayna she'echad yisbayesh al yedei zeh b'meshehulo etzliach kamohu. He says, you have a guy who goes into business and he does really, really well. Should he not do that because he's embarrassing somebody else? He has an older sibling, maybe, who's not as successful as him. So do we say now he shouldn't go into business? That's a very hard thing to argue. He says it may be a nice thing, but it's certainly not la halacha that one will be obligated to do so. The last point I mentioned earlier is that we're learning this from Kodem Matan Torah, from before the Torah is given. Is something from before Matan Torah actually binding? So the Kloisenberger, the Divrei Yatziv, asks this question in a separate context. And he points to Yerushalmi in Moed Katan. The Yerushalmi in Moed Katan is talking about the principle of Ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha. This is also our parsha. You don't blend two different smachot, two different celebrations. You give each one their own time. So after Yaakov marries Leah, and he wants to marry Rachel, we say you have to wait a week, right? Let each one have their own Sheva Brachos. We don't want to blend two different simchas. That's the principle. But the Yerushalmi says, how do you know you don't blend two smachot? And it brings us from Divrei Hayamim, when Shlomo dedicates the Beis HaMikdash. So he first has the 7 days of dedicating the Beis HaMikdash, and separately the 7 days of Sukkos. He doesn't overlap them. That's the source. And then they say, oh, and by the way, also Rachel and Leah, they each get their own. Why did you bring me a pasuk from Divrei Hayamim instead of bringing me from here? So the Mara HaPanim, commenting on the Yerushalmi, says it's because we don't learn halacha from before Matan Torah. You can't learn halacha from before Matan Torah, but didn't you just do it here? That's different. Logic, ethical, moral behavior, you can learn that from before the Torah was given. This is just a nice thing to do. That you can learn from before the Torah is given. Halacha about Ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha, that you're not going to learn from before Matan Torah. There's room to argue this, but that's the idea. So just to sum up and make sure that we're clear. Number one, Lavan is the bad guy, Yaakov is the good guy. That we can be clear about in this story. Lavan cheated Yaakov. If he really felt this was an issue, he should have said something 7 years ago. That's number one. Number two, though, we find in the Rishonim, starting with the Rashbam, starting with Rabbeinu Tam, this idea that, in fact, the assumption is you're going to marry off the older one before the younger one. When it comes to Pesach, we don't say that in the sense that the younger one has to wait to start dating. But if they're both in front of us, then yes, it's a good thing to do to have the older one get the opportunity to get married, and then afterwards let the younger one get married. It's certainly a nice, respectful thing to do, if not per se a halachic obligation. The other justification for so then what's the justification for Yaakov wanting to marry the younger one before the older one? Either because Leah wasn't ready, or because of this Maharsham, that Rachel is in fact older than Leah because she was conceived first. And therefore?
Therefore, that's why you said Leah was not available then. Rachel was available.
But still, that doesn't mean you go first. That just means you have to wait until Leah marries Esav. That wouldn't have worked.
What about the most part?
Right, so the whole idea of muflag, which makes a lot of sense if we were talking about this as a logical, you know, ethical thing, doesn't fit with the idea of twins. Doesn't fit with the twins. Thank you very much. Neshama Shavan Aliyah.